Have your Bibles this morning,
Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, and we'll begin reading in verse number 13. We'll give you just a moment to find your place. I hope, how many of you have a Bible with you today? Would you lift your hand? You got amen? Good thing you got a Bible. Bring your Bible when you come to the house of the Lord. If you don't have a Bible, get to where you can see one. I don't want you to think that I made this up. I don't want you to think that we are preaching anything but the unadulterated word of the living God. Beginning in Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 7, and look in verse number 13. We find that the Lord Jesus is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse number 13 of Matthew's Gospel, and verse number 13, chapter 7, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Would you notice the comparison in verse 13, in verse 14? Jesus said, many are the headed down that path of destruction, and few, in verse 14, are headed into life everlasting. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I believe, my friend, as we read these pages this morning, these verses that have been inscribed for your hearing and mine, these fall from the lovely Son of God. There are many words in the Bible that brings comfort. They're some of the sweetest words that you'll ever find. Some words you'll find as Jesus spoke them to the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. He said to that woman, he said to go and sin no more. He said, I don't condemn thee. We find in the lovely Son of God also said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We find in the Word of God there are several passages where Jesus spoke and spoke words of comfort. But I believe these perhaps are probably the saddest words in all the Bible. Here I mentioned to you in Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus has now finished his Sermon on the Mount. He's coming down to the last portions of that sermon. In these last few verses before chapter 8, we find that Jesus gives a word of warning. He mentions there are two ways in this world. There's a way that leads unto life eternal. There is a way that leads unto death and destruction. And the Son of God utters the saddest words that would ever fall upon men's ears. He said there in verse number 23, I never knew you. Depart from me. In the time we have together this morning, I want to bring you a message on the saddest words, I believe, in all the Word of God. There are five, six things that I find here. If you'll follow me along today, I believe this morning the Holy Ghost of God wants to bring this to your attention. Number one, would you find with me verse number 21? In each one of these, I just use the word great with each one of them. The first thing that I find in verse number 21, there is a great deception. In verse number 21, look there with me, please. Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who are these people that he is referring to? These are not Buddhists. These are not Muslims. These are not atheists. But they are people that claim to be Christians. These are people who have believed that Jesus is the Son of God. These are people that attend church. They are people that sing the songs and people who act like Christians. These are not wicked people. These are not ungodly people. These are not murderers and rapists. No, my friends, these are good moral people. But these people have been deceived into thinking that they are saved when they're actually lost. They come into the house of God and they sit and they listen to a preacher preach. Probably they are faithful to the house of God. The Holy Spirit tries to break through their cold, stony heart, but yet without avail. They constantly try to convince themselves that they are saved and that the preacher is preaching to somebody else besides them. Every time that their salvation is called into question, they cannot give you a definitive answer that they are saved and on their way to heaven, but instead they always bring up some religious activity. Sometimes they'll bring up the point that they were baptized, joined the church, became a Sunday school teacher, began to do certain works in the church house. Oftentimes they go through life like this. Pride stands in their way. They tell themselves, well, what will the people think of me? I've been in this church for years. I grew up in church. Mom and Daddy brought me to church. I've gone through all these religious activities. I've sang in a choir. I've sang specials. Maybe played a piano. Maybe played an instrument. I've served in many different capacities. And yet, my friend, deep down in their hearts, they are truly lost without Jesus. They try to convince themselves. And every time that they try to convince themselves, there's a war going on in their mind. Part of it says, don't believe that. You're saved. You really are saved. But then the Holy Ghost of God begins to try to convict their heart. The Holy Spirit of God begins to tell them, hey, you need to listen to what's going on. You need to listen to that preacher. God is knocking on your heart's door. God may knock one time, but he may not knock the second time. God may knock this morning and never knock again. God may have leave you alone. And beloved, time and time and time again, these folk, these religious people, not the drunkards, not the derelicts, not the whoremongers, not the harlots. No, sir, but these are good people, good moral people. The second thing I find, a great pretender. Look in verse number 22. And my friend, may I say to you this morning, it is not my desire to try to make you make a profession of faith. I do believe this, in looking about and in talking to different people, I do believe this, that many people have made a profession, and yet that's all they have, is a profession. They have, there are folks sitting here this morning, and I'm not going to single you out, but I'm going on 14 years here as your preacher. There are people sitting here in this auditorium that have swallowed their pride and they finally have said, hey, I know the Holy Ghost of God's dealt with my heart. And thank God for it. There's been Sundays that some of you have slipped out and come down to this altar and they said, preacher, I'm one of those that 99% I'm certain I'm going to heaven, but there's that 1% I'm not sure. And I don't want to risk my eternal destiny of 1%. I want to know 100% that when I breathe my last breath, that I'm going to heaven. I'm not here to scare you this morning. I'm not here to twist your arm this morning. I'm not here, but I do believe this, that God has laid this on my heart. I would be an injustice this morning if I tried to get away from it. But I believe that somebody this morning, maybe sitting in this room, maybe listening by internet, or listening on radio, and God is beginning to prick their heart, and God is beginning to say, hey, you're the one. You listen. Listen to what that old man is saying up yonder. I have been in nursing homes. I have been in hospitals. I have seen people before that on their deathbed, if they had not already accepted Christ as their Savior, then they would not have a chance. They would not have an opportunity. They would not be in their right mind. They would not have their mental faculties. They would be under sedation, and they could not, even if they wanted to get saved, they could not, simply because they're in that comatose state. But you're different. You're sitting here this morning. You've got air breathing in your lungs and breathing out. You've got your heart that's pumping blood through all of your body. You've got a mental faculty this morning that you can assess what I'm saying. And best of all, you've got a heart, the Bible said, that believes unto righteousness. But notice in verse 22, there's a great pretender. Look in verse 22. The Bible said these people work for Jesus. I fear that sometimes that some people base their eternal salvation on the good things that they have done for the church, what they have done for God. They look and say, look what all that I have done. And when it comes right down to it, their eternal soul is based upon the works that they have done for the church, for God, for Christians, or whatever. But look at these people. They pray in Jesus' name. They preach in Jesus' name. Look what the Bible said in verse number 22. Have we not prophesied in thy name? The Greek word there means to act as a spokesman. I had a good friend. I don't mind telling you, he used to pastor Brattwood Christian Church, where Brother Ricky Cox is now, but years ago, Brother Don Lyerly was the pastor there. Brother Don Lyerly was a preacher. Brother Don Lyerly was pastoring a congregation of people. And he went to a revival meeting and heard the message. God convicted his heart. And Brother Don Lyerly went forward and accepted Christ as his Savior, as a preacher. He went back to his church and stood on Sunday morning and said, people, I've been living a lie. I just got saved this week, and so I'm ready here today. I'm ready to resign and leave and let you get somebody else. And they said, no, preacher, we want you to stay. We want to hear what happened to you. I say to you this morning, there are preachers that will stand in the pulpit this morning, and they'll prophesy. They'll even preach about and teach in Jesus' name, and yet in their heart they're lost without God. They build huge churches in Jesus' name. They claim to have a relationship with Him, but the fact of the matter is they are not of Him. These folks here, they lay their whole salvation experience on what they have done for Christ instead of saying what He has done for them. They look back and say, look, I ran a bus route. I taught a vacation Bible school class. I sang in the choir. I sang specials. I've ushered, I've helped take up the money, I've been a treasurer, I've been this and I've been that, and all along they're trying to convince themselves that they're saved, and deep down in their heart, God is saying to them, hey, you need to wake up, you need to swallow your pride, you need to walk an aisle, you need to bow a knee, and you need to get saved before you die and go to hell. Amen. The Lord would say, I've seen you in my house. I've seen you preaching in my name. I've seen you singing the songs about me. I've seen you teach a Sunday school class or vacation Bible school class. I've even seen you witness to others about me. But you never exalted me. You never accepted my free gift. You never asked for my blood to be applied to your heart. Look what the Bible said in verse 22. And he said there, haven't we done many wonderful works in verse 22? Not just ordinary works, but wonderful or miraculous works. Miracles. Speaking in tongues, removing mountains, treading on serpents, drinking deadly poison, healing diseases. Miracles in which the world would say. Now the question comes up, and I know it's probably burning in your heart if it isn't already, how
in God's name could this happen? How could a person, how could this be, preacher? One of two things. One, there is a satanic counterfeit for everything that God does. Friend, listen. Everything that God has and everything that is holy and everything that is decent and everything that is pure, God has made it, but the devil has a counterfeit for everything that God has. The devil has a counterfeit. God says the only way through peace is through the shed blood of Jesus. The devil says peace is found in a bottle. Peace is found in drugs. Peace is found in sex or whatever else. And God says there's an opposite. Satan says happiness is found in doing the things of the world. Jesus said happiness is found in following me. Second explanation. The second explanation is this. I believe without a doubt, God blesses this word right here. He said, my word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand forever. Thank God for that. You've heard stories. I seen something the other day where a car caught on fire and burned up, but the Bible was in the car and it escaped. I used to think about them things, and I used to think that was just, I said, that just couldn't happen. And yet, one night, and some of you remember, some of you have been here long enough, some of you hadn't been. One Wednesday night, some years ago, I left out of here, and my truck was parked out there, and at that time I had a cover over the back of the truck, and I had all my stuff and my Bible and everything, and I laid it up on the back of my truck. Opened the doors of my truck and put my stuff in, and I took off. Brother Larry Johnson is sitting back yonder, and he can verify what I'm about to say. I took off, and on the back of my truck, I drove from here down through Liberty. When I got into Liberty, I made a right-hand turn there beside the old theater, and went down through Liberty, out the other side of Liberty, and I rounded those curves, and I was headed to Burlington. Before I could get to Burlington, my phone rang. I didn't recognize the number, and so I answered it, and they said, is this Pastor Frank Thacker? I said, it is. And they said, Pastor, we have your Bible. I said, you don't have my Bible. My Bible's in the back seat of my truck right here. No, sir, we have your Bible. I didn't know it's my Bible. It's got your name on it. Pretty good. I said, well, how did you know to call me? Your prayer list is in your Bible, and it had a phone number on it, and we called you. I said, where in the world did you, and by that time I done stopped, pulled off the side of the road, and I said, where did you find my Bible? They said, you know, on Highway 49 coming out of Liberty, there's some sharp curves right there, and there's three crosses in the curve of one of those. I said, yes, sir, it's right there going toward Pleasant Hill Christian Church. Well, that's where we found your Bible. It was laying in the front of one of those crosses. It rolled on the back of my truck 16 miles and came off right there at the foot of one of those crosses. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. God preserves his word. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. But listen to me in what I'm about to say. God blesses his word, but he doesn't necessarily bless the person. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't either. But here it is. Listen to me. Of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles that were called, one of them was Judas Iscariot. Judas, the Bible said, he was the son of perdition. Judas Iscariot never was saved. Judas Iscariot hung himself, he died, and he went to a devil's hell. But at the same time, Judas Iscariot, he was among the ones that preached the gospel. He was among the ones that healed the sick. He was among the ones that heard Jesus. He was given the gift of preaching.
He was a treasure of the group. Now, friend, let me ask you something. If Judas Iscariot could 3.5 years be with the Son of God and be lost and go to hell, don't you think that there's other folk today that have played this game? They have sung the songs. They have taught a class. They have stood behind a pulpit. And they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And if they don't wake up, they're going there. Judas Iscariot had the gift of preaching, but yet he never accepted the one that he preached about. He had the power to cast out demons, and yet he could not prevent the devil from entering into him. Third of all this morning, notice number 3, the great disappointment. Jesus said in verse 23, "I never knew you." These are people that have lived their life expecting to spend eternity in heaven. These are folk today that if you were to pull out their tithing receipts, they'd probably have a good record of giving to the church. These are people today that have all the expectations when we sing the songs, when we all get to heaven. They say, "Yeah, I'm going to be in that group." And then somewhere in their mind, they say, "You'd better check up." These are people that have expected to get to heaven, but instead they are disappointed when the lovely Lord Jesus says, "I never knew you." Now, what does that mean? First of all, would you not agree with me this morning that God knows everything there is to know about us? He certainly does. He sees you 24/7. The preacher may never know about what goes on at your house, but God does. Say amen right there. Amen. The preacher may never know if you slip around and take a drink every now and then, but God knows. That preacher may never know about some of the things you involve with and watch on television or watch on the internet, but I don't have to know because God knows. In fact, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 30, the very hairs of your head are numbered. And for some of us, as Brother D.R. Harrison comes next week, thank God, he's bald as can be, like an egg. God's doing subtraction on some of us. So what does this mean? Did he lose track of us? When Jesus said, "I never knew you," it doesn't mean that he didn't know who we were. It simply means this, my friend. To know carries with it an idea of a love and affection. It's a relationship. I never had any affection for you. I never had any communication from you. I never had any interaction from you. I never knew you to believe on me, to love me. You talked about me, but you never talked to me. You sang about me, but you never sang to me. You preached about me, but you never had a relationship with me. Right now, pick any athlete that you can think of. Professional. Pick any political figure. Pick any movie star. Y'all got somebody in mind? Raise your hand. Come on, hang with me, folks. I wasn't here last Sunday, so give me a little break, okay? Pick any movie star that you want. I'm going to pick John Wayne. John Wayne's dead, by the way. But I have watched John Wayne movies. I've watched The Sands of Iwo Jima. I saw one the other day, McClintock. I told my wife, I said, that wouldn't go over today because he spanked his wife at the end of it. That just wouldn't go over at all today. I could recognize John Wayne if he were to walk in here. I've seen movies, I've seen pictures, I've seen photographs. If you were to say, do you know who John Wayne is? I'd say, yeah, I know who he is. You could pick your movie star. You could pick your political figure. Doesn't matter, senator, president, doesn't matter, whoever. You could have their picture. You could have a letter. You could have everything there is to have about them. And you could know all there is to know about them. You could talk about them when you sit down at breakfast. You could talk about them when you go through the day. But the problem is, my friend, you know everything there is to know about them, but they just don't know you. And I'm afraid that's where some people are with Jesus. They talk about him. They talk much about him. They even pray. They even go through the motions. And yet, in their heart, they're lost in their heart. God said, you better listen. I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you an opportunity. This, my friend, is not a game. This is real. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot you. Friend, if you ever really get the real thing, you'll never get unsaved. Amen? Notice number 4, and I'm hastening to close. Verse 23, there's a great departure. Look at verse 23. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is a great departure. Banished from God's presence. Eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from heaven. Eternal separation from everything that's lovely. Listen, everybody, we sang this morning when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. What a shouting that time that'll be. Thank God there is a reunion. I've got a sister there. I've got a daddy there. I've got a mother there. I've got loved ones there. I've got friends that are there. I've got church people that are there. What a reunion day that's going to be. But only if you're saved. If you're not saved, listen, my friend, I don't care how many books you read and how many bright lights you see, honey, I got news for you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no in between. There is no soul sleep. There's no coming back. There is no reincarnation, honey. You don't die as a man and come back like a worm. No, sir, my friend, once you breathe that last breath and once that soul leaves that body, there is no second chance. There's a great departure. When will this take place, preacher? Take place at the last judgment. There are two judgments. There's a judgment for the saved, and there's a judgment for the lost. The judgment for the saved is the judgment seat of Christ. We all sing and we all hope and we all pray and Lord Jesus, come back for us. We're looking for the rapture. By the way, I'm still one of those preachers that still believe in the coming of the Lord. There's a lot of them that don't believe it today. There is a growing number. Listen, there's another message right here I could preach. There's a growing number of preachers today that don't believe in the coming of the Lord. They don't believe in the rapture. I'm talking about that used to be fundamental Bible believing Baptist preachers, and now they're saying, we don't know about this thing. The church is going to go through part of the tribulation. Honey, I got news for you. Thank God, I believe he's a coming back and he's a coming soon. Amen. I'll preach it to my dying day. There's a judgment right after the Christians are out of this world, and we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. But here's the judgment I'm talking about. The judgment of the wicked. The Bible said in Acts 24:15, resurrection of the just and the unjust. John 5:29, there's a resurrection of life, and there's a resurrection of damnation. The last thing this morning, would you notice with me, there is a great destruction. I'm going to ask for a volunteer here in just a minute, so the first one raises their hand, I'll take you. There's a great destruction coming. Have your Bibles open there. I want to read some verses to you.
Now, I need a volunteer. Before you raise your hand, here's what I need you to do. I need you to come, and I need you to put your hand over top of that flame of that candle. And I want you to hold it there for the rest of the service. Do I have a volunteer? You don't want that. You don't want to stick your hand in that fire because it'll burn you. Anybody, listen, and I'm not picking at you, but you know what would happen if you stuck your hand in that fire. I didn't say put it out. I said hold it there. How many of you have ever been burned? Raise your hand. You know the pain, don't you? It's not necessarily an instantaneous hurt. It is. But once you pull your hand away, if you've been burned, you know that the nerve endings are exposed. And that hurt goes on and on and on and on. Listen to what the Bible says here. Luke 13:25 said, when once the master of the house was risen up and had shut the door, and you began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then ye shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou taught in our streets. But he shall say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. Matthew 25:30. And cast ye into unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And these shall go away, Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 13:41. But the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all the things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In your Bibles, in the book of Revelation, God describes this time. He describes in chapter number 19 about this day. If you have your Bibles, chapter 20. In verse number 12, and we'll be ending up here. Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death claims the body. Hell claims the soul. Both body and soul, according to these verses here, be reunited. Can you get a visual picture this morning? We're talking about the end of the judgment. We're talking about God sitting on his white throne. And one by one, the lost of all the ages will walk in unclothed, naked, before God and before man, and the angels of heaven. They'll come down and they'll face the Holy One that sits on the throne. And they'll say unto him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we cast out devils in thy name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? Haven't we taught a Sunday school class, run a bus route, sang in a choir, taught vacation Bible school, sang in a quartet, whatever. Lord, look at all what we've done. Open the books. And the books will be opened. I believe there are two books in heaven. There is the book of life that records every man, woman, boy, girl,
Every aborted baby, say amen right there. There is a book of life. And then there is the Lamb's book of life. In the book of life, July the 27th, 1955, my name was inscribed in the book of life. But then in 1967, my name was not taken out of the book of life, but it was inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. And as an 11-year-old boy, I said yes to Jesus. And from that day to this day, I've been one of His. But that lost man will stand before God, and he's there. He's disappointed. He's thinking, hey, look at all what I've done. Doesn't that count for something? Doesn't my good outweigh my bad? That's what I've heard all my life. I thought all I had to do was go to church. I thought all I had to do was sign a card, join the church, be baptized. I thought all I had to do was put money in the plate when they passed it by. Lord God, what am I to do? And he says, I find no record of your birth. Angels, come and bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as they bind him, and he's screaming, and he's crying, and he said, oh God, God, help me, somebody, I'm burning. And they throw him in outer darkness, and where there's weeping for the endless ages, and gnashing of teeth. Pain is so bad, they gnaw on one another. They gnaw on their self. Body and soul cast in the lake of fire forever. Not one little old candle, but a lake of fire burning forever and ever and ever. And that, my friend, is the saddest words that'll ever come from the lovely Son of God. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, I didn't know you and lose you, but I never knew. If this was your last day on earth, at 12:20 this afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, and right now the Holy Ghost of God is on your one side, and the devil and demons of hell is on the other side. The devils and demons of hell are trying to tell you, hey, you'll get over it. There'll be another Sunday. You've thought about this for some time. Don't worry about it. You'll always be around. Don't worry about it. And on the other side, the Holy Ghost of God is saying, this is your day. 2017, first Sunday of 2017, this is your day. Today is the day of salvation.